Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Number 25. Pastor Taylor has asked me, I speak about once a month, either on Sunday morning or Sunday night, have Sunday school class for the young at heart. That's the only thing young about us is our heart. But meets before the morning service here in the auditorium. We invite you to come if you would claim to fit into that category, anywhere from 50 and up or whatever you want to admit. There is no graduating from my class except there. So anyway, then I have the Wednesday night Bible study. So he's asked me to speak about the home, and so I'm going to do so, at least the next, I know for sure what I'm speaking about the next few times that I speak. So let me ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Before I forget, because I forgot to put them out there, I have handouts on the back table of some things that will be helpful to us. We're not going to give them out right now. You can pick one of those up because it doesn't include the message, okay? The message is separate, so you can't, if you don't pay attention, you can't find out what I said after you pick it up. It's just more help, okay? I'm speaking about sound financial habits and that we're to be good stewards of the money that God gives us. You ever need help with your finances? We all have. And maybe these things would be a help to us, to help us to figure out not just in the matter of, as Pastor talked about, our giving, but about the whole big picture of our finances. And whether you're well off financially or whether you don't have a lot, we need to have wisdom from God about our finances. Most of us, at least at one time in our life, have known what it is to struggle financially. Some people struggle financially their entire life because they don't use wisdom about their finances. But we've all been there. I've had people ask me before, how do you know how to do so many things? Like fixing this and fixing that and fixing this and fixing that. Well, because when we were first married, we didn't have much money. And now if you take your car to some place, get it worked on, it's about $125, $150 an hour. Back then, it wasn't quite that high, but it was more than I had. And I've laid under many a vehicle that I owned. And I have a little saying that poverty is the mother of do-it-yourself. You do things because you can't afford to pay somebody else to do them. Maybe you've been there, and maybe you can still do that. I have found that I'm unable to do some of the things I used to do. If I crawled under a car, it might take me a couple of days to get back out from under there. So I'm just saying things are different about that. But let's look at Matthew chapter 25. I encourage you to take those handouts, and there should be one for each family at least that's here, one for each family. Take it home, maybe it will help you, just some helps. I did not write what is there, though I agree with the things that are there, but like 3 pages of things will be helpful to us. Matthew chapter 25 will begin in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now let's explain that the parable is about God giving us his people, what it is that we have. Okay? He is the man traveling into a far country. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the one who came from heaven and then was here and then went back to heaven. And one of these days he's coming back again. And when he does, we as believers will give an account to him. That's what this is about. Notice what that phrase said. Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So who do those things belong to? They belong to God. And He has entrusted us with things. By the way, it can apply to a lot of things. Your time, your talents. When I say talents, I'm talking about your abilities to do things. Our treasure. Those are things God entrusted us with. One day we'll give an account to Him for what we do with those things. Okay? They're His. We're responsible to Him. Verse 15 says, "And He gave unto one 5 talents. Now, a talent is a weight or value of money, and it would vary depending on the different country you're in and the value of their currency and all those kind of things, but it was a talent. For example, this weight or value of money in Israel, if it was silver, okay, if it was silver, a talent of silver, weighed about 100 pounds. Okay? Currently, silver is $25 an ounce. Sort of lingers around there. If one talent of silver was what was given to that person, then that would be in our money about $40,000. That's not a whole lot of money. A lot of us make $40,000 a year. Or more. Okay? Matter of fact, that's really not a whole lot of money anymore. And really has to do with how worthless our money is what it has to do with. Remember back when you could buy a gallon of gas for what's the cheapest anybody remembers? 30 cents, 35 cents? I mean, way back in the day, 35 cents? Now it's 10 times that. It's still the gas, but it's our money's worthless, folks, because what happens is when our government runs out of money, they just print more. And so the value goes down, and that's why 8% inflation that we had last year, whatever it was, it's a crazy thing. A talent of gold in Israel weighed about 200 pounds. Now, it currently is just under $2,000 an ounce. You multiply 16 ounces to the pound, one talent, 200 pounds of gold would be worth $6.4 million. But here's the point we're getting to. It doesn't matter if you're that person who's just getting by or that person who, this happens, spends $1,000 like most of us spend $10. We're all accountable to the Lord. That's the point. He gave, unto one says He gave 5 talents. So then if you want to multiply that out, then I just gave you the 1 talent. I'm not good at math in my head, so you'll have to do that. If you want to figure out going any further with that. To another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. The word ability means the power and influence which belong to riches and wealth. In other words, our financial status, whatever it is, we have influence with it. We can do things with our money for good or for evil. The word several means that which belongs to one's self, differing with each person. So in other words, God has given to us, all of us, some things. And we're responsible to Him for what He's given. Let's keep reading. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he doubled his money. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "The Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, and hard man reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. As if to say, you require something when you didn't give anything in the first place, but the very first verse showed us he already gave us his goods. Okay? So he's not being accurate. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. At least you could have got some interest out of it. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray to speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have entrusted us, particularly here in the United States, with far more than most people around the world have. Help us, Lord, to get a hold of this principle and to use wisdom our finances. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what you've entrusted to us financially, that we're all on level ground when it comes to the cross, that we cannot do anything to pay or buy our way into heaven. It's all a free gift that comes by Jesus Christ and his death for us on Calvary and resurrection. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, money may seem like an unspiritual topic, but these figures are not mine. Someone else who studied this out says that 2/3 of Jesus' parables dealt with money or possession. 2,300 verses in the Bible deal with money. Every one of us is susceptible to bondage to money. The younger we learn the principles, the better off we will be. In recent years, they did a study of bankruptcies. This would have gone back some years. But 19% of bankruptcies some years ago were filed by college students. That's starting off young. By the way, when you file bankruptcy, you just dig the hole deeper. You make it worse for yourself. Okay? Point number one. We're finally getting to a point here. Okay, transfer ownership of your money to God. Now let me explain what I mean, because you're going to say, oh, here we go. Whatever my check is, I have to give it back to God. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, what I mean by transferring ownership is he's the one that gave it to us in the first place. Okay, now you have the idea, this is my money. I worked hard for it. You know, if it wasn't for God enabling you, you couldn't even get out of bed in the morning to go to work. Just ask some people who've ended up in that situation. Okay? By that I mean let God direct you in your use of money, not selfish desires. It does not mean you can't use any of what you have for yourself. Matter of fact, most of what we use, we have to have to live on. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 6 show us this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him, that's mankind, man and woman, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. We should be in control of the things God has put us in charge of, not them in control of us. Okay? You can make application to a lot of things, particularly We just celebrated Earth Day. Okay? And we've gone from conservation to worship. Let's just be honest about it. Of the earth and everything that's in it. Okay? They'll do everything they can. I believe it's coming. They'll even become violent to have the right to kill their own child while at the same time fighting for the right of little baby whale all over the world. Okay? Now, let me just say this. We got to think about what the value is. The value of one soul to God is far more important than anything else. The soul. Okay? So let's do our best to use our financial means to further God's kingdom. That's an important thing. Okay? He wants us to do so. Now, God wants our hearts. When He has our hearts, we'll have our money under His direction and guidance. Here's some scriptures that we can read. Okay? Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9 tells us this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Okay? An example of that is in Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 11 through 22. We're not going to read the whole passage. But this is the occasion where Jacob, the story of Jacob's ladder and how he saw the vision of the ladder going up to God and the angels ascending and descending upon it. If we read the Gospels, we'll find that that's a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Himself said that, if you read that in the Gospel. So, he has this vision. And then when he awakens, here's what he says. Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There's none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows. Wow. I'm glad that the My Pillow guy has something a little more comfortable than that. Amen. And set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. That means the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, there's some of that stuff he gives us, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, here it is, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So what is God's requirement? Did God say, everything I gave you, you got to give back to me? That's not what he said. He said, all that I gave you, I'm requiring you to recognize where that came from and give back 10% to me. Now, maybe you say, you just don't understand. I'm not in a financial situation right now where I can do what that requires. You never will be until you step out by faith and just do it. Because when you see it on paper, you say, I can't do it. And then you start doing it and you find out God will make you able. Okay? And things change in life. You can go from having hardly anything to becoming maybe to some degree well off because of a job you have or a business you have. But somewhere down the road, your finances may dip too because of your retirement or something like that. But we have that responsibility to give to Him. I encourage you. I've seen God work and do things when I don't know what He was going to do or how He was going to do it. I didn't have this principle. I didn't get saved until I was 19. When I was a boy, I folded clothes and my mother would pay me 5 cents. You say, man, that's terrible. Oh, then you could buy a candy bar for 5 cents. You could buy an ice cream cone for 5 cents. I know you don't believe that. One dip for 5 cents. Then got a little older, got to be a teenager, and I was mowing some lawns, doing some things. My mother talked to me and said, "Now, Andy, you should give 10% of that back to the Lord." I'm trying to teach me this principle in the Bible. You know what I said? I wasn't saved. I said, "This is my money. I made this money. You didn't force me." But you know, at the age of 19, when I got saved, genuinely born again, I still didn't really comprehend about all of it. I got saved one Sunday. The very next Sunday, the plate came around. I took my billfold out. I was in the Air Force. Okay? I've been to basic training and my training station for electronics. My first place was here, Tinker Air Force Base. First place of duty. And the only place I served before I got out. But I took that billfold out, and I reached in there, and I just took everything in there out of there. That's just what happens when you get saved. That's what happens with this man right here, Jacob. He said, "Man, I met God. I want to do something for God after everything He's done for me. I put all of that in the plate." And then, later that day, I thought, "Oh man, it's a whole nother week till payday. Now what am I going to do? I need some gas money." It's the honest truth. Some of you hadn't heard this. Some of you heard it 30 times probably. Okay? That very week, one of the men I worked with, actually, he outranked me a little bit. He was looking for a car. He said, "You got a car. Would you take me around to some places and help me to find a car?" He said, "If you do, I'll fill up your tank." That very week, the Lord said, "See, you can trust me. You can trust me." Now, sometimes in life, we have a difficult time with things. We just need to keep on trusting the Lord. Amen. We could talk about many other scriptures about that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. We're just going to skip over some of these others, but because of time. "Will a man rob God?" 8 through 12. "Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse." You say, how can somebody rob God? They're going to hold a gun on him? No, by keeping back that which he said you are supposed to give. "For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Not just will he bless us, but he'll rebuke the devourer. He'll keep some things from going wrong. Okay? I can't even count the times I was like, "Man, I need this. I've got to have this right now." And I go to the store and it's on sale. Or drive a vehicle. It just keeps on going. And going. And going. The average car today, if you buy a good one, well built, okay? I hate to be un-American here, folks. But the Japanese have figured it out better than we have. I know, 30 years ago when I was pastoring the church, "America!" I've come to say, you know what I've come to say? Hey, make something here in America that'll go 200,000 miles and I'll buy it. Or 400,000 miles. Just keeps on going and keeps on going. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't have to put air in the tires and change the oil and fix something when it breaks. But he'll rebuke the devourer. We need to be careful in that regard, our tithe. And then, for those of us who are involved in the missions program, this is over and above what God does for God requires of us. And this is something we do by faith. It's not required. By faith, we give over and above our tithe to the missions program. And thereby support 52 missionary projects all around the world. Okay? So, these are ways that we can use that. I can't think of a better thing. One of my responsibilities, Pastor Taylor's given me, is missions pastor, which means that all those letters that come in, I put them in the binder over there, and I advise him once in a while about things, missions, has to do with missions and things like that. But let me tell you this. I'm involved. My wife and I are involved in giving to missions. I get those letters. I read every one of them. I even have some people that I've known from the past that send me letters that we don't support. I read them. But you know what I found? The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't know if I really have a heart for missions. Well, just start giving a whole bunch of money toward missions. Your heart will follow. You'll get interested. The missionary, that you know, if you're not supporting missions, somebody shows up, who's that? Well, you should go introduce yourself, okay? Like any visitor, amen? When somebody walks in the door and sits down, we ought not to sit there and say, I wonder who that is over there. You know them? No. Who is that? Well, go ask them. Tell them who you are. And amen. Missionary comes in. By the way, missionaries often compliment our church and say, you're friendly toward missionaries. They show up, you're going to sit there and say, I'm putting some money into that ministry. I want to know what's going on. Amen? That's what it's all about, making an investment. Let's move on. We're commanded to be good stewards of the money God has given us. Let me give you some things about that. Just practical things. First of all, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Under that, here's some things. Have a written plan. A written plan. You ought to just make up your mind, okay? We're going to write this down. This is what we're going to do. Make up your mind. Have a written plan. For food and clothing, okay? Let's look at some scripture. A written plan. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 6, 8. What are some of these things, the plan? The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6, 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Wow. That leaves a whole bunch of other stuff out. That doesn't mean we should not use our finances for some of those things. We just need to realize that oftentimes we have enough for what we really have to have. We really do. And just have a plan. Okay? The husband should be the leader. Well, you say, my wife's better at money than I am. Doesn't matter. You're the leader. You ought to be the financial leader too. Okay? My wife is really good with doing finances, book works, and all those kind of things. I still balance the checkbook. If I gave it to her, it'd probably take her about 25% of the time than what I do. But see, that's my responsibility. It's not because I want to know what she's spending money on. That's not the way it is in our house. I don't know how it is at your house, but at our house, she don't like to spend money. What a blessing. Some of you, it's like, give me that credit card back. Not the way it is at our house. She has probably thought a time or two, what are you doing with that money? Well, I'm in charge, so. Now, we've been wise with our finances, trying to put ourselves in a position later in life not to become a burden to our children. Okay? And what will be coming in from investment, from saving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, through retirement, if Social Security stays around. We should be able to live okay for 20 years. We'll be 70 here in 2 years, just a little over 2 years. I'll be 70 years. Man, 20 years. If Social Security goes away, we'll be able to live comfortably for 10 years. What are you going to do if you live past 80? Move in with one of our kids. I don't know which one will let us. That's the plan. Usually when I say that in front of them, they roll their eyes. But anyway. Food and clothing. There's things we need. Then there's things that are exorbitant. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Who's adorning the godly woman? Let not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Okay? Now you may say, so is the Bible teaching me, ladies, you can't wear any gold or you can't do your hair up nice? No, if that was the case, then the last part of verse 3, or of putting on of apparel. Okay? You're supposed to put apparel on. We understand that, right? But just saying, don't focus on that. That's not the main focus. Every woman wants to look attractive. Every woman does. Make yourself look attractive to your husband. Okay? But, and fellas, she would just soon you look a little better than maybe you do anyway. I don't know about that. They must not care quite as much as we do. I look around, and I'm like, phew. Some of you guys, I'm telling you, myself included, I look in the mirror and I say, wow. I don't have to be all about that. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Get out of debt. Have a written plan. The lust of the flesh. Man, you see it. Man, I need that. No, you probably don't. You got food. You got raiment. My wife keeps me well fed. I can remember when I was in Bible college, opening the refrigerator one day, the only thing in there was a jar of preserved pinto beans. That's all that was in there. Whew. The Lord brought us through it. Now I open the refrigerator, you know what I get upset about? I can't find anything in here. There's too much food in here. Right? Move all them leftovers and find that stuff that's not any good for me back there in the back or something like that. We got enough. When I came to church this morning, I had to open my closet and select raiment to wear. Gone are the days when as a junior boy, my mom would put it in the washer and it'd go in the dryer and I'd take it straight out of the dryer and put it back on again because that was my favorite church. We have to select what we want to wear. We got it made, folks, here in America. Say, well, I'm struggling to some degree. That's all right. We've all been there. Just hang on. Keep on serving the Lord. Let's continue on. Determine essentials for living. We talked about that. Find out what's essential. Number three, think before buying. Think about it. Number four, discontinue credit buying. Avoid leverage. That's the use of borrowed money to finance the purchase of assets with the expectation that the income or capital gain from the asset will exceed the cost of borrowing. Say, what? I don't know if that's something that I looked up, okay? Basically says, I'll borrow a bunch of money and use that money to make money. Well, you might just lose a whole bunch of money too. Then you'll still owe all that money, okay? Be careful. The asset may not be enough. Stay away from things like the lottery, bingo, and gambling casinos. The casinos get bigger and bigger all the time from the money you lose. I had a man in the church, had a friend whose wife went to the bingo hall all the time. He said, "You're stepping on my toes. I hope I'm stepping on your wallet and that you figure out this is not a good thing." She won like $500 at bingo somewhere. And I don't know if it was some winnings over some time. She'd won $500. Her husband looked back through the finances and found out to win that $500, she had spent thousands of dollars. That's the way it is with throwing your money away, folks. And the people who can least afford to throw money away are the ones that say, "Man, if I could only get the right numbers, if I could only roll that, whatever it is, if I could only get these cards to lay down just right here." A whole lot of people take their own life because they get put in a hole with finances. Next, save money. Save. Proverbs chapter 21. And verse number 20 talks about that. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Okay? Spendeth it up. It's important for us to realize what the Bible says. Proverbs 11:16 says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." If you want something, save for it. Save for it. Now, maybe you're saving for a car and you get half the price of the car saved up, and then your old car breaks down, it's beyond repair. Well, at least you got half the money saved. And if instead of buying a brand new car, if you got the money to buy a brand new car, God bless you. I bought two new cars in my entire life. Okay? They were not fancy. I'm just saying, I've learned that buying a used car with low miles is in good shape. It'll go for a long time. Watch out for debt. Save. Save for your retirement. Save for emergencies. You ought to have at least $1,000 set aside for an emergency. Save for purchases. Listen, folks, most people make a decision not based on what this costs. Whether it's buying a house or buying a car, they say, "Can I afford that payment? I can. We can fit this in our budget." That's not the way to look at it. Okay? A lot of people bought a house when they were running high. Now they're trying to sell it. They go like that. Be careful. Save for college for your children. Save for what's going to happen after you pass away. Too many times, parents leave debts for their children. Whatever it is, whatever you believe the Lord wants done with your remains, you ought to figure out a way ahead of time to take care of that so your children, when that happens, do not have the added stress to the already stressful grief they have on them to have to go and listen to somebody that's trying to play on their emotions to get you to get something bigger and better. Oh, listen. I'm sorry, folks. When you're laying in that casket, I don't care if it's a cardboard box or if it's a fine wooden mahogany casket or a fine steel casket, you're just as dead. And you don't know anything that's going on. Amen. Save for those things. Let me just close out quickly by saying this. Money can cause marriage problems. The Bible tells us that. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 24. This verse doesn't tell us this, but I'm just saying this is marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh together. Together. Building a life together. A lot of it's financial. Getting to the place where you enjoy life. Now I got a 1987 Chevy truck. I love to drive. It rides like a war wagon. But it'll haul a lot of stuff. I like riding around it because I put steel wheels on. Used to, people would see me at the service station. Hey, what year's your Chevy? 1987. First year they had no carburetor. What's it called? Fuel injector. First year fuel injector. Oh, and then we talk back and forth, you know. Got them steel wheels. Now they stop and say, nice truck. What year is it? I added to their compliment, see. Nice truck. What year is it? Why don't you just go buy you a new truck? Well, here's the main reason. I have a hard time making a purchase, buying a vehicle that costs more than my house cost when I bought it. Really? Matter of fact, you can pay nearly double what my house cost when I bought it. Be careful about those things. Save for those things. It can cause trouble in the home. People say what they want to say. A lot of the stress in the home is financial. Couples fight over money a lot. What they usually fight over is how to use the money. Oftentimes the wife, because she's plugged into the home and the children and her surroundings, she'd probably be way more practical about some purchases. Okay? Now, that boat I got, not good enough. I need a better boat. I've got a pretty nice boat now. 25 years old, but so what? It'll run. It'll outrun some of y'all's boats. I'm thinking about that. I'm not so sure if that's true or not. But anyway. We started off with this little old canoe, square stern canoe with a 9.5 horsepower motor on it. When our kids were young, and we hauled everybody around in that. Well, we had a life jacket on. We weren't afraid. I'd sell that and make, and somebody'd buy it for more than I paid for it. That happened a couple times. Got to where I could afford something better. You can do the same thing with a boat. Pay more than you pay for your house. Use wisdom. The man should say, Lord, help me to be the sacrificial one. That's what Jesus is toward us, right? Help me to do without so my family will have what they need. And so, well, those are some practical things about money. Regular money meetings, talk about things. Keep discussions calm and friendly. That's not always easy. Put your goals and priorities in writing. Track your income and expenses. Come up with a realistic budget. Remember, you both have a money history that precedes your marriage. You got to be careful, fellas. Maybe later in life, you're going to get married to somebody, you got the assets, and the other person has the debt. You're going to have to figure out what to do about that, how to make it work. It's an important thing, and the reason why that the Lord tells us, I have given you, no matter whether it seems like little or seems like a lot, I've given you what you have. You need to have wisdom from God's word and seek Him, because money can be a trap and debt can destroy you. Or you can use your money wisely and live a good life and support God's ministry and go to meet that in glory. What you've done for the Lord. Well, let me ask you to bow your head. Let me say this. This is a different kind of a message, I'm sure. But I encourage you to pick up the handout there, One a Family, and just look over that. It has a lot to do. Just some practical things. 41 ways to save money is one of the things that's on. Maybe it'll be a help to you. All we're trying to do is be a blessing and a help to you. God bless you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the things it teaches. Lord, it teaches us about everything in our life, and thank you that it teaches about our finances too.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.